and just keep buying the dip. Because I think at the very end of the day, Kenneth, they're going to take gold. We have the largest gold reserves in the world, and they're going to reprice gold and then basically pay the debt off with it. That's my view of the end game. They're just going to say, hey, gold's $70,000, and you we'll buy your gold at that price. And then, oh, by the way, we're wiping the debt out with it. And that's where we'll sell our gold at that price.
Hello, everyone, and welcome into CrushTheStreet.com. I'm Kenneth Amendurie, and I'm joined today with Bob Kudla. He's with TradeGenius.co. We're going to be talking about the economy here, markets, gold, cryptocurrency, just where things are headed. And, you know, he's got an interesting perspective because, you know, he's got a pulse on the market on a very, very regular basis. I'm not sure if he trades daily or just a very regular trader, but just a constant pulse on the market. So we're going to get his take on what is happening in this current environment. Obviously, massive changes have taken place. We've covered this constantly here at Crush the Street. I can't get a haircut, so I'm now wearing a hat. I've resulted to this. We're here in quarantine. The families are home, and the world is just now a completely new normal. So without any further ado, Bob, thanks for coming on Crush the Street with me today.
Yeah, hey, thanks, Kenneth. Thanks for having me.
Well, I think this is going to be a very interesting interview here, especially with what you do. I know a lot of people are at home and they're looking for ways to make active income, and you trade and you analyze markets, and you've come up with ways to successfully make markets. And we have extremely volatile markets right now. And as we were talking before the interview here, these have been very good times for your systems and your people, your subscribers. So I'm interested in getting into a little bit of that with you. But before we do, I'd like to get your thoughts on the current economy and just what you're seeing right now. Obviously, there's a lot of fear and panic, and you know, people are trying to figure out what to do. I know earnings are coming out for a lot of companies right now, and those are going to be very dismal. But you know, from an overall perspective, can you, with any sort of speculation, guess as to, is this going to be the bottom here? Is the market pricing in a lot of these earnings reports? You know, what the Fed is doing, what the governments are doing with trillions of dollars. What are your thoughts in this current environment at the moment?
Yeah, so what we're going to expect to see is actually this earnings season, the earning results may surprise people to the upside, only because the lockdown only happened a month ago. And so a lot of that, people are already anticipating doom for this quarter. So they may outperform. It's the guidance that's going to be absolutely dismal. And so our view at Trade Genius, the low's not in for this cycle. So we may get a pop. In fact, we may have seen it on Thursday. It hit certain technical levels and it rejected. So if the S&P 500, for your listeners that follow, we don't follow the Dow, we follow the S&P 500. If it doesn't break back over 2,800, we can expect it to test back down to the lows that it made in February and March, and maybe even a little bit lower, going all the way into the end of June into July. And the reason being is that the guidance is going to be poor. So you may get a pop and then a drop. And a lot of people now are wondering when we're going to come out of this this lockdown, if you will. And I think, you know, in the past, people thought, hey, we're just going to turn this thing back on again, and it's just going to rock. And now we're starting to see, well, maybe they're just going to phase this thing in, and it may be phasing all summer long. And our economy is unique, Kenneth, in that we have a high service component to our GDP, not just consumer spending, but a service component to it. And so there's a lot of industries that are services that aren't essential, and not even essential in the way in which the government is, you know, calls essential. I mean, just essential things that are just nice to have, right? You know, getting your nails done, or going to get a massage, or going to a tanning booth, or going out to eat a lot, things like that. Those things may not come back at anywhere near the levels they have for this cycle. And then now you have a situation where a lot of people are unemployed on the lower end of the scale that may not get their jobs back. And so we're going to have to cycle through some of that. And our view is that we'll make a lower low. And then I think the Fed and the government are just going to keep throwing money at this until they get it to turn. So that's our view. But that's a macro view. The way we trade is, you know, we're in and out of the market like every week. So we, in a sense, don't care. We just have to make sure that we see the trend that's happening for the week or two ahead and make sure that we're positioned for it. And right now we're positioned that metals and miners are doing good, and they're doing good today. There's a unique trade in the oil tankers, because oil is not, they're overproducing oil, has to sit in oil tankers, profitable there. We had a great trade on that today. And that's going to be a trade that's going to go for 90 days. And then everything else is going to kind of be punk.
Absolutely. Well, it's interesting with what we're seeing. How are you getting any interesting analysis from a trading perspective as to the reaction to what the Fed and the government has done with trillions of dollars? And I guess my question would be, what would you expect the markets to trade like if they didn't do those things? Would it just have kept on falling to, I don't know, call it 10,000 Dow or you know, 1,000 S&P on the S&P? I mean, what are some of your thoughts on this?
Yeah, so there's two components, Kenneth, of what they're doing here. There is what we call what the Fed is doing with what's called repo type of environment. That means that they're rolling loans over, basically keeping companies from going insolvent or going bankrupt because a loan gets called. And then there's direct action with money just going right into the economy. If they didn't do either one of those, we would have absolutely had a collapse. You can't shut an economy down and take 25, 30% of the people out of the workforce and not expect absolute chaos. So what they did here was they kind of put the finger in the dike, and that's the move we saw off the low. And now we're at a point now where people are saying, okay, we've already priced that in. And now what they're going to probably have to do is they're going to have to actually put more cash into the economy. What people don't understand about money is that there's like two components to it. There's what I would call credit money and cash money. And although all dollars are considered debt, but when you're at 0% interest, it operates differently. And so now they can spend money without any additional carrying costs. So you can have a $1 trillion deficit or a $2 trillion deficit. If you're paying interest only, you're not paying anything. So it's going to cause some really interesting phenomenons in terms of being able to try to create what's called velocity. And they're shoving a lot of money at the low end of the economic spectrum because they know those folks have to spend it. And so they're trying to create inflation that basically is absorbing all the debts that are being liquidated, and not just the United States, we're the reserve currency of the world. So there's a lot of debt around the world that's going belly up. And this is, they're just fighting a deflation wave. And then we're just gonna have to wait and see when that's gonna turn into a stagflation. You know, you're kind of younger, so you don't understand. I was a kid in the 70s where basically the cost kept rising and it was exceeding the ability for your paycheck to keep, track of it. And so that was the true inflation that we had, was the 70s. That was the only inflation that we really saw in most people's lifetime. And that'll come back again. And I think that's what the Fed's actually hoping for, so then they can then monetize the debt away. So that's the yin yang right now. So they're gonna buy every loan off the books, Kenneth. They're not gonna let companies go bankrupt that they can afford not to. And they're gonna throw money at the problem and at businesses until they can get some sort of stabilization. And it's gonna be interesting to see if they win or not.
You know, it's interesting, the inflation that we really saw over the last few years has been in the price of assets. You know, my generation had a very difficult time being able to buy a house, you know, graduating into the 08 crisis and going to college, racking up on tremendous amount of student debt, which has been inflated into oblivion. We now have this situation where, you know, homes are unaffordable for millennials. And, you know, on the other end of the spectrum, you have a situation where retirement, you need, 10x the amount of money in your retirement to get any sort of real return and something that will actually sustain yourself, right, over the last few years, as opposed to when interest rates were much higher. So to that extent, I mean, I almost feel like they, and agreeing with you, they've taken that into high gear here, with ultra low interest rates, with money printing. You know, it's interesting. It will be interesting in the short term to see what happens, but what's the fallout from this trillions of dollars that's just being thrown into the system? I mean, it's not very fundamental. There wasn't effort. There wasn't blood, sweat, and tears that went into that creation of money. So where is that economic energy released? And I mean, maybe it lends to your point of higher prices here in short order.
Yeah, and I don't think it's going to be actually that short of an order. I think we're on a treadmill right now, Kenneth. So what's happening is that the money that's being shoved into the economy is literally going to pay off other debts, you know? And so we're going to have this thing where we're just going to be spinning for the longest time. And because it's at zero interest, there's really no short-term pain for the government to do this. My theory on this is probably unique. Is I said even before this virus created the spark that caused the flame here, is that my view was that the Fed was going to buy up all the government debt until the baby boomers would kind of roll off the earth. And that way, then the next generation is not going to have as high medical costs or Social Security costs, and they're going to absorb back the debt from that, or they're going to slowly inflate it away. And so that's still my view. I said, hey, we'll see the Fed balance sheet at $20 trillion. It'll freak people out, but normal life will probably go on. And this just accelerated it. So, you know, they'll probably be $10 trillion on the balance sheet within the next 6 months, would be my guess. And people are going to look at it and say, we still don't really have any inflation. And the reason why, you know, I'm getting more confident in that view is you just have to look at the price of oil. You know, oil has been a driver of inflation since the 70s. And we just learned a new secret, is that there's a lot of oil out there. And they can't, you can pump it and you can put a straw in the ground anywhere in the world and they're finding oil. And so we're not going to see oil as a driver of inflation anymore. And so that's a big thing for businesses. And I think if unemployment now gets higher again, wage inflation is not going to be there either. So it's really going to be a factor of kind of driving down, you know, people's costs of living, you know, in terms of the debt they carry. And, you know, you're looking at, for yourself, you know, price of homes, I think, will keep drifting down. That's another source of inflation because, look, I'm not buying a bigger home when I go to retire. I'd be looking to see if I can downsize at some point. Well, you can't buy my house at the current price. I mean, not you personally. I mean, you as a generation. And so the price is going to have to come down to match incomes. And so we're going to have this constant push down on deflation. At the same time, the Fed and the government is trying to spend it into inflation. And I think we're just going to be at this tug of war for years. And, you know, we're a little bit, Japan's given us a little bit of a view of how that works. Is that you'll get these impulses of inflation, then you'll get these impulses of deflation, but nothing on the outer bounds. And people who say, but Bob, the dollar is going to collapse, we're the reserve currency. What other currency are people going to use? Right? There's only two possibles, right? You go on a gold standard or you go on a cryptocurrency standard. Well, crypto's still not, I would say, ubiquitous enough. People don't understand it enough. Too many of the miners are in China, which kind of scares people a little bit. And will sovereign governments really allow a coin to be that ubiquitous? And I'm a crypto fan, so don't take this the wrong way. You just got to be kind of clear-eyed about this stuff. No government's going to give up their right to currency to a transnational, you know, kind of construct, especially when a lot of it is in China and people don't trust China anymore. So you got the gold standard. So, you know, I'm still of the view that, hey, own crypto, own gold, own silver, and own the miners, because all of those are going to get bid. And because of the just their unique nature of not being able to be monetized out. So that's my view. But the dollar is going to remain. We're the reserve currency. We're the one-eyed giant in the land of the blind. Nobody's going to run to euros. Nobody's going to run to the yuan. Nobody's going to run to the yen. You know, in fact, Europe may not even survive this, Kenneth. Europe will probably resplinter into smaller factions because they just can't. They're 10 years ahead of everybody in terms of the debt curve, and they don't have a unifying, you know, economic and political union. So they'll blow apart again. So that's my view on what's going to happen.
Bob, you, before you touched on it, gold and silver here, what are your expectations? Not necessarily from like a trading perspective week to week, but what is your reasonable expectation? That's one thing I'm actually really appreciating about this interview is that you're not just saying and making extravagant claims about anything. You're not saying, you know, the world's going to just be reset tomorrow, the dollar's hyperinflating, all of these inflammatory statements. But you have acknowledged the problems, which again, you know, and how is that going to play out realistically over the next 5 years, 10 years? And that's one thing I do want to acknowledge and appreciate you for. So, you know, to that extent, what is your expectation from a more longer term perspective for gold, for silver? You know, where is your expectations?
Yeah, so gold, if you take the gold as an asset class and compare it against the money supply, gold should already be $2,400, okay? And so my expectation is it's just going to keep grinding until it gets there. The bullion bankers are going to have a hard time naked shorting it. I mean, shorting something they don't own, that's the game they've been playing for years. That's going away. They got burned with platinum and palladium last year. And so you're going to see that with gold and silver. So gold will get $2,500. You know, right now I think it's around closing in on 1,700. And so, you know, that's a pretty reasonable 20-25% increase because people are going to start to diversify into that. Silver is going to come out too. Silver, it's kind of, it gets beat up because it's also a commodity, you know, from industrial standpoints. But silver slingshots. So I always like to have a position in silver miners because we'll see silver get over $20. But there's a couple other ones out there too. You know, you want to have a position in platinum and palladium. And then there's also another precious metal that nobody's heard about that's been doing really well. It's called rhodium. And there's actually a stock out there, you know, Stillwater Shabani Gold, that actually owns a rhodium mine in the United States, which is huge because, you know, when these countries start locking down, they may not allow exports of silver and gold. So you have to find miners that are going to be in what we call the Five Eyes countries. You know, that those are the five English speaking countries, United States, Canada, you know, Australia, New Zealand, Great Britain. That block's going to maintain itself. And then you might throw Mexico in there. We're kind of tied to them tightly. And then Israel and India, that's going to be the trading block. So you probably don't want to own assets in other countries besides that. So when we look at miners, we look at those people that are in those countries so that we know we can extract that commodity or that wealth back into the United States and vice versa. So I look for all of them to go. And platinum and palladium and rhodium kind of are like the speed cars. So as soon as you get a whiff that economic, you know, is going to start to drift up again, they're going to rock it and silver is going to rock it. And gold is just buy the dip and just keep buying the dip. Because I think at the very end of the day, Kenneth, they're going to take gold. We have the largest gold reserves in the world. And they're going to reprice gold and then basically pay the debt off with it. That's my view of the end game. They're just going to say, hey, gold's $70,000. And you will buy your gold at that price. And then, oh, by the way, we're wiping the debt out with it. And we'll sell our gold at that price. And that's what's going to happen. I think central banks have been buying gold for the last 10 years. And so I think all this stuff's been planned. And when people say that central banks don't know what they're doing, they absolutely know what they're doing. We just don't like what they're doing. But they've been buying gold. And so, you know, you do what they do because I think that's the plan. That's how they're going to reflate everything. They're just going to basically generate a price at some point and just call the debt done. And so just keep buying the dips on it. And don't listen to the news. Well, I say that caveat. Don't listen to Main Street news because it's designed to separate you from your money. So just watch the price action. And that's all we do. You know, we see the dip. We have what's called a dual ribbon system. So remember, you were saying, well, how do you know when the bottom is? Well, we don't know when the bottom is, but we know the market does, and it gives us hints. And so we have this thing called a dual ribbon approach where we can see when there's a convergence, which means it creates a divergence from price to action. And then that's when we know to pounce to go long or to pounce to go short. And other than that, I don't have CNBC on. I don't watch Bloomberg. I just watch price action. And, you know, there's 100,000, a million people trading out there, and you get all your information you need from what the price is doing.
Bob, just two more questions here. One being the more closing out question, but touch on cryptocurrency, if you would. I know you alluded to it a little bit, more speculative than precious metals, but you see adoption continuing to roll out for cryptocurrencies. Are you biased towards any of the bigger ones in particularly? I mean, what is your overall concept of cryptocurrencies and where they fit into our global economy?
Yeah, so as an asset class, everything will go cryptocurrency at some point, or a digital asset that's encrypted. So even the national currencies are going to go that direction. But, you know, the big three plus Link are the ones that we like and we trade in and out of. My partner, he's a miner from the beginning on cryptocurrency, so he'll trade some of the other alts. We have a special room just for cryptocurrency trading. So we have dedicated rooms for futures trading, cryptocurrency trading, and for stock / ETF trading. So we're watching the Bitcoin halving come. We think there's going to be a big move in Bitcoin. And everybody says, you know, Bitcoin gets pushed down a lot of times when there's wholesale selling. But the nice thing about when you trade cryptocurrency is the volatility is your friend. So if you have good buy signals and good sell signals, you know, you could just continue stacking your asset, you know, hold some, buy some, sell a little bit, and just keep lowering your costs. So that's our plan there. We have a HODL strategy and we have a trading strategy, but we think the big three, we like Link also. And occasionally when we see buying pressure coming in some of the alts, we'll jump on those as well.
Great. Bob, and I'll ask it to you this way. I don't know a lot of people that actually make money trading. You know, at the end of the year, most are not paying their taxes because of trading gains. And that's because they're not making money, not because they're trying to cheat or steal from the governments. And that's a whole other can of worms to talk about taxation and the morality of that. But talk to us a little bit about your strategy here and why it works and, you know, how people can get involved with what you do.
Yeah, so, well, what we do at Trade Genius, first of all, from a macro level, is we simplify, you know, the trading process, and we educate people on how to do it. And like I said before, we use a strategy, we call it the dual ribbon strategy, and it's, one ribbon confirms another ribbon, and that puts us into a position of what we call a high profitable, highly probability trade. And so we're 65% of our trades are profitable on stocks, and in trading futures, we're at 85%. And so what we do is that stocks like to move in a direction. So you want to buy things, it sounds so simple. You want to buy things that are moving up, number one. And then number two, it oscillates like a sine wave, like a radio wave. And so what we do is we look at that radio wave of the stock action, and then we apply our ribbon to it, and it just tells us when buying pressure is coming in, and we buy the stock. And when selling pressure comes in, we sell the stock. And what we do is different too. We don't swing for the fences, Kenneth. We're buy and grind. So we're in 3 days, 7 days on a trade. We hop off, we take another trade. If we're wrong on a trade, the losses are small. We move on, we don't dwell on it. And we note it, we see if we have to modify anything in our algorithm, which usually not, it's just life kit is not perfect. And we just grind our way to profits. And so, you know, we do quite well. You know, we average, you know, gain of right now we're averaging on an annualized basis over 100% for the year. That doesn't mean you're making 100%. That means if you're fully invested, you're at 100% gain. So typically nobody's ever fully invested. So this is really, really good system. And that's consistent over the years. You know, we average between 65% to over 150% gain. So we just, we stick with our system and it works, but it takes work. A lot of people don't, they just think they want to take one trade and become rich. You know, this is a vocation for me. And so you're working it just like you work your job every day. I work my job every day. Stock markets open, you know, from 6:30 in the morning, my time, to 1 p.m. And then cryptocurrencies are open 24/7. Our trading rooms are open the same time frame. So, you know, we're there, we're trading all the time. And then we educate people. And a lot of times people make mistakes because they're of fear or greed. And we just help them eliminate that by having a system that will tell them whether or not, you know, a lot of people say, I'm going to go buy this. And I'm like, well, does the system tell you to buy that? Well, no, because I heard. I'm like, no, just let the system get you into the trade. And, you know, you're constantly, you're playing a probability game here. And if you just trade the right way at the right stock at the right time, you're going to make really good money over time. So that's my advice. And, you know, we'd love to have your listeners come check us out. And they can also check us out at tradelikeagenius.com. And Kenneth, for this interview, the first time we talked together, you know, we put together some specials. If they take advantage of them for Saturday coming up, they can get 65% off. We put some bundles together, whether you want to trade stocks or cryptocurrencies. And if they want to just buy something individually in the store, they can just go ahead and use the promo code April. So
perfect.
That's what we do. It's really straightforward approach and it works. I've been doing this for a long time. I've been trading since 1991. So we think we have a system that works pretty well.
Bob, I appreciate your time coming on Crush the Street. And I know everyone listening has as well. So thank you so much. And again, be safe and continue doing what you're doing. It's great to hear, you know, resilient success stories like yourself, people thriving in this current environment, because you hear a lot of the negative stories, right, of people falling through the cracks. And, you know, no doubt we all know people who are being impacted by this. And, you know, so to that degree, we're all being impacted one way or another. So thank you so much for coming on the show with me today.
Yeah, and just a parting comment. Look, there's always a bull market somewhere. Even like the Great Depression, people made a lot of money. So, you know, there's always an opportunity. And the only thing I'll say too, there's obstacles in front of people right now. You know, you see a wall, you go over the wall or you go around the wall. Don't let the wall stop you. You know, it's okay now, a little bit, we're kind of in a little bit of chaos to kind of reflect. But when this thing settles out, look for opportunities, people, because they will be there.
Good word right there. Thank you, sir.
You're welcome. Bye-bye.